title today is The Power of God's Love. The Power of God's Love. The Power of God's Love. You need to understand that there is power in God's love. There is power when you learn to love like Jesus. There is power over circumstances and situations. You need to understand that God's love is priceless. You know, you think about God and how he sent Jesus for a second. And he sent his only begotten son because Adam messed things up. So he said, hey, I'm going to give you something that I love that's really near and dear to my heart. I'm going to give you my very best, my only begotten son, Jesus. That's how much God loves you. That he would be willing to give his son. I don't know about you. I would have a hard time giving up one of my sons for all y'all. Amen? I don't think I could do that. I might give up my life for you maybe, but and that's a big maybe. Amen? But God loved us so much that he gave us his only begotten son, Jesus, because he loved us. And you got to understand something, that you can't give away something you don't have. You can't give away something you don't have. We cannot love until you are truly receiving love. God's love is the only true love. It's the only authentic love. Shout with me this morning, God's love is the most authentic love there is. See, you got to understand, when most people think of love, they think of human love, which is conditional. It has, it's limited at best. And when we love others with caution. And sometimes we have strings attached, or we have an alternative motive and plan in our mindset when we love somebody. But God, no. God's a little different. God's love is sacrificial and redemptive, and we cannot love the way God loves on our own. That's why we need the Holy Spirit to live inside of us, so that we can learn to love like God loves. Amen. Only God can empower us to love like God loves. So this morning we're going to take a look in the Bible, and we're going to look in the Amplified Bible. This is where I got this scripture from, and it's in Ephesians 3 verse 14. Ephesians 3 verse 14. And I want to show you a couple things this morning. I only have a couple scriptures for you. And I promise that I'll get you out before 4 o'clock. Amen? Because you love me. Amen? Ephesians 3:14, it says, "For this reason, seeing the greatness of this plan by which you are built together in Christ, I bow my knees before the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that Father from whom all fatherhood takes its title and derives its name. May he grant you out of his rich treasury of his glory to be strengthened and reinforced with mighty power in the inner man by the Holy Spirit, himself dwelling your innermost being and personality." Let me stop. In order to start loving like God, you got to be filled by God. You have to have the Holy Spirit living inside of you. You got to have him indwelling in you. And when you do, things get turned upside down. Some things you argue with yourself sometimes, but that's only God trying to clean out the clutter that's in your drawers. Amen. He's taking the junk out of your trunk. Amen. Verse 17 says this: "May Christ, through your faith," see, it takes your faith. God already has enough faith, but it takes your faith. "May Christ, through your faith, actually dwell, settle down, abide, make his permanent home, his residence inside of you." Allow heaven to be inside of you. Allow God to be dwelling inside of you with your faith. "Make his permanent home in your hearts. May you be rooted deep in love and founded securely on love, that you may have the power to be strong, to apprehend and grasp with all the saints," God's devoted people, that's you and me, "the experience of that love. What is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth of it?" God's love is so big you can't contain it all. that you may really come to know practically through experience for yourself. See, God's love is experience. It's just not talked about. Amen? You got to experience God's love. You experience for yourselves the love of Christ, which far surpasses mere knowledge without experience, that you may be filled through all your being, not just a portion of your being, but all your being. From the top of your head to the soles of your feet, you're overflowing, right? That you may have the richest measure of divine presence and become a body wholly filled and flooded with God Himself. Have you had seen some floods lately? And you see how much water it was and see how it took over the area. God wants to take over you with His love. Oh. See, Paul prayed to these Ephesians and was trying to share with them how big God's love really is. And he said that it's good that you know, but it's better to experience. I mean, I know some people that are really, really smart, and they know a lot about God, but they never experienced Him. And so they still live the same life they're in because they have never had an experience with God. They can talk the language. They can talk the talk. They go to church. They know all the right things to say and the right things to do, but they have never experienced the love of God, the sacrificial love of God. And how He just laid down it all for you and for me, even when we were kind of like a piece of trash. In our eyes, we were trash. In God's eyes, we were a gem. We were a vessel that needed a little polishing. Amen. Shout, deeper level, deeper level, deeper level of God's love. See, we just need a deeper level of God's love. We just need to understand a little bit more about how much God loves you. God's love is patient. Think about that. We're not patient about anything. If we ain't getting our food in 30 seconds at McDonald's, we're screaming at the person in the window. Then they get the order wrong. Amen? Then they bring you the wrong drink or they don't put the stuff on your food. I mean, it's just, you know, come on. So you can all know and intimately experience God if you choose to. It's a choice. For a long time, I got to know who God was, but I never experienced Him until I stepped into a point in my life where I was jacked up and going to die. And I said, you know what? I know a lot about this God and a lot about this Jesus. I've been trained a lot. I understand a lot, but I never had the experience. And then once I experienced Him, I went to a whole nother level. See, when you become aware of his breadth, His length, His height, and the depth of God's love, you become unstoppable. And here's what happens. When you start to get a handle on how big God's love is, the devil don't like you. The devil's going to put opposition. The devil wants to keep you held back. The devil wants to keep you in your hurt. The devil wants to keep you in your pain. The devil wants to hold you back from all the things that God has, because he's trying to tell you that God don't love you. That's the reason why you're in the mess that you're in. The reason why you're hurting is because God don't love you. And he tries to hold you back. He wants to keep you in your past hurts, your wounded condition. He wants you offended. He wants you afraid. He wants you full of bitterness. What's coming out of your mouth? Is praises coming out of your mouth? Or are you still talking about the people that hurt you? I'm just saying. You would say, can't touch this? Amen. I'm not going to allow somebody's stuff that they did to me that hurt me take me down. I'm going to love them, but I might love them from afar. It's okay to love people from afar. God says you don't have to like them. Come on now. There's some people I don't like. I have to love them, but I don't have to like their mindset. I don't have to like what they're saying. I don't have to go and hang around with them. I don't have to go and go to the clubs with them. I don't have to let them their influence get into my influence. Amen. I still am going to love them. I'm still going to pray for them. I'm still going to go before the throne room of God and say, Lord, let them have an experience with you. Because what all they're missing is the experience. They're experiencing life and they're being hurt. They're experiencing the wounds of being married and divorced. And they're going through the motions. But what they need is an experience with you. your love. Your love will draw you, it will draw you closer to him. God wants you to love freely. God wants you to understand it, that he gave himself for you so that you can love him freely. Amen. Think about Jesus for a second. Think about how he was moved with compassion when he seen people. Think about Jesus when he raised Lazarus from that. He waited a period of time and he loved Lazarus. Think about that for a second. He loved him, but he allowed him to die. Now, Lazarus, you think about it for a second. I want to help you with something. Remember Mary and Martha and Lazarus? They all loved Jesus. And Jesus loved them very, very much. But how could Jesus allow Lazarus to die? Didn't he love him? Yeah, he loved him. Now, Lazarus, when you look at him, he wasn't like this person that like had a big ministry. He wasn't a person that had good teaching skills. Or you never heard Lazarus was this mighty man of God or he did anything really big for Jesus. You don't hear a lot about Lazarus. He was a friend of Jesus. And you think about Lazarus for a second, how much Jesus loved him. See, the story goes that Jesus kind of waited a few days. And then when Jesus arrived, he says, my brother's dead. And he said, don't worry about it. I'm coming. Don't worry. I love him. It's going to all work out. Don't worry about it, Mary. Don't worry about Martha. I got this one figured out. God uses people in a way that only he can use them. He uses the most unusual people to get his point across. Jesus didn't have to say anything. All he had to do was point to Lazarus and he came out of the grave. That was his showing love for Lazarus. When he said, hey, Lazarus, come on. Get those rag clothes off, those death clothes they had. Come here. Lazarus didn't speak. Lazarus wasn't then going out and preaching the gospel. All he had to do was point to Lazarus. That's who I love. He showed him love by raising him from the dead. Why? Because he loved him. Things are in God's timing. Amen. Jesus always moved in compassion. Why? Because he loved people. He touched the blind eyes. Why? Because he loved the person. Now, he did things different. He said, go put mud in your eyes and then go wash them. I mean, that's kind of weird if someone told me, hey, go put mud in your eyes and then I can see. I mean, come on. I mean, would I listen or not? I'd probably still be blind. That's like some of us. But Jesus always moved with compassion because he loves people. God wants you to understand that you need to love people too, even the most unlovable people. Didn't say you had to hang with them, but you got to love them. Uh-oh. Pastor's going to go somewhere. I won't help you. Jesus came and loved people because he is motivated to heal the sick, to raise the dead, deliver people from all types of bondages and shortcomings. He came for people like me that was sick. He came for me that had some shortcomings. He came for me because I was a little jacked up and not on course. Came for me. Came for you. He said for us to love others freely, for we have received God's love and we're supposed to be more like him. For instance, he gives us grace to love others without fear or conditions. See, humans love, we sometimes love out of fear. Sometimes we love and we're cautious in what we're doing. But God's love is fearless and is great, and it drives out fear. Take a look at Ephesians 5, verse 1 and 2. This is the Message translation. Ephesians 5, verses 1 and 2. It says, watch what God does, and then do it. Watch what Jesus did, and go do it. Go watch what that Christian people are doing, and just go do that. Watch what God does and then go do it. Like children who learn proper behavior from their parents. Let me stop there for a second. You see a lot of chaos in the world because you see that there's been no influence of the parents in the children that are causing the chaos. Amen? And you know what that tells me? There's a lack of love. There's something that they need, that they desire, that they want, but they're missing it. It's called L-O-V-E. Let me continue. Mostly what God does is love you. That's what the Bible says. Keep company with him and learn a life of love. Observe how Christ loved us. His love was not cautious. But what was that word? It's what? So what does that mean? It's crazy. It's big. It's awesome. It's more than you can contain. He didn't love in order to get something from us, but to give us everything of himself to us. Love like that. Love like that. With his love, we can love others without charging them for our love. In other words, we can love without strings being attached. See, I could give Miss Sherry this dollar, see? But there's a string attached to it. Oh, you want it? But there's a string attached. That's sometimes how we love people. That's not how Jesus loved. So then I got this ring here, you know. And my wife gave me this ring over 21 years ago when I got married. And see, there's a string attached to it right now. So I go wherever she tells me to go. Yes, dear, yes, dear, yes, dear, yes, dear. Reel me in, amen. Yeah. Come here, honey. I knew I'd work that in my sermon somehow, Amanda. I told you I would. But see, the God that we serve never said that when I got married that there was supposed to be a string attached to it. And for many years, when I was married, before I knew Jesus like I know him now, I had a ring attached to her hand, but I had a string attached to it. I had maybe an alternative motive. I might have had some things in the back of my head, you know. I'm gonna take you out to dinner, but I want to buy you this outfit, but you know, I need 7 meals cooked this week, and you know, we look at love with a string attached to it. And Jesus came and cut away that string so that we can learn to love like he loves. See, you're laughing because you know it's true. And what happens is when you have strings attached to stuff, it makes a mess. You got stuff going everywhere. You look like a puppeteer. Amen? And we got strings attached to this, and if you do this for me, I'll do that for you. And you do this for me, I'll do that for you. And we do it not out of love, but we do it to try to get something. Well, if he does that for me, I'll do that for him, or you know, I do that for her. I mean, she, you know, she owed me now, and we put a string attached to it. He just opened the door for me right now, but yeah, that'll stop in about 3 weeks. Amen. Because he's got a string attached to it. He wants something from me. Well, if I could just get to know that Pastor Jeff, he might be able to open up a door for me to go meet somebody else, and there's a string attached to it. If I can just get to meet that business person over here, then I can overcome that person to get what I really need. There's a string attached to it. And then eventually the strings get all tangled up, and then you're just like tied up and messed up and jacked up and can't do nothing. Because see, when we love in a human way, we always have a string attached to it. We always have a condition attached to it. We always have some fear that maybe this won't work out, so when I get married, I'm going to have a prenuptial agreement, because if I do that, if something don't work out for some reason, somehow, some reason why, you know, then I got a fallback plan, and you had a string attached to it. And then you wonder why that marriage failed when you had that, because you already set it up for failure because you had a string attached to it. Because your love really wasn't unconditional, it was conditional. If this person does this, that, or that, you know. Come on now. See, the Holy Spirit helps us make wise decisions concerning our relationships. And God comes in, and what you got to understand, the longer I've been married to my wife, the longer I've learned that I used to have some strings attached to our relationship. But the more that I started learning to love her the way God showed me how to love her, amen? When God started to show me to love her unconditionally, then he started to cut those strings away. And then you begin to be more sacrificial. I'm all the way in now. I mean, you know, I'm not worried that she's going to take advantage of me. That's not her nature. I'm all the way in. And God starts to cut those strings. God gets you to love that person a little bit more. The Holy Spirit will always lead you if you allow him to. There's some relationships that God cuts off because sometimes you don't know that there's been a string attached to it that's going to pull you down. So God just cuts it before it's going to hurt you. Oh, so you don't get tangled up into a ball or a mess or that web that's getting wrapped around you. He's trying to help you. That's why we need to take some time and allow him to guide us, allow him to lead us in the relationship. Let him be the leader. Amen. Allow him to cut some of that stuff away. Allow him to cut some of those strings. Allow his love, because see, there is power in his love to remove those past pains and those past. God wants to move you from where you're at to a whole nother level. But sometimes we like those strings that are attached. You know, that person hurt me, and that person, yeah, they probably did. Well, they promised me this and they promised me that. Mm-hmm. They probably were well intended to do those things, and they just didn't make it happen. But there's some things you've done where you've had a string attached to it. Come on now. Come on. If you do this for me, I'll do that for you. It's not love. Jesus didn't come and say, well, hey, you know, if you do these 8 things and you do this and you do that, I'll love you. No, Jesus said, I'm going to come and take the cross. I don't want to. I don't want to take the cross, but I'm going to take the cross, and I'm going to take the thorns, and I'm going to take the whooping, and I'm going to take the scourging, and I'm going to take the nails in my hands, and I'm going to take the nails in my feet, and I'm going to be a spectacle. I'm going to be spat on. I'm going to be laughed at. I'm going to be made fun of. And every time he did one of those steps, he removed a string that was attached. See, the world tried to hold him down to their standards, their ways. Who is this? This is Mary and Joseph's son. Who, yeah, but how did he get all this wisdom? How did he get all this knowledge? Because he was in love with God. When you spend time engaged in God's presence, you will be transformed from the inside out. People see and want to experience the change that's inside of us. I love my wife more than I loved her when the first day I met her, because it was a different kind of love. I didn't really know Jesus when I met her. I said, Jesus, I'd like to know her. Hallelujah. But then we got saved, and then we got water baptized, and then we, you know, start serving God. And then, you know, I got sick and was dying, and what's going on here? And then you see, you know, the whole time, love in action. Love is an action word. That's what you do. Not a string attached. And I thought about that. I thought about the days when I was just dating my wife. She She had no commitment to me other than that she loved me. Even when I was sick and dying, she would visit me in the hospital bed all the time, and I would think to myself, something different about this one. She didn't have a string attached to it. Amen? She wasn't looking at the size of my wallet or my checkbook, because I didn't have much in either one of those. I know it was handsome and good looking, but, you know, beauty's only skin deep. Ugly runs thick to the bone. You know what I'm saying? Someone can be beautiful on the outside, but in the inside, there's no love. That person's bitter. They're mean. They're angry. You tend to kind of go like, okay. You know, well, they're a beautiful person, but boy, they got no personality, or they don't smile. There's no sense of humor. They're trapped within their beauty. See, when we embrace God's love, there is a noticeable difference in our behavior. People see us in a more loving and a kind way rather than a harsh or a negative way. People run from people that are harsh and negative. I don't know about you. I get as far away as I can get from people that are negative. Negative self-talking, you know, doubting Thomases, you know those people. And you'll never have that. You'll never amount to that. You'll never have a new car. Who said you can get your teeth straightened out? Who said you could have braids? Who said you could have a college education? Those are the people you got to run from. You got to start hanging around some people that are going to embrace you. People that aren't negative. People that love you. People get this. Kids even understand they want to be drawn to someone who loves them. It's just in our nature to draw to something that where we're being loved. That's why gangs are so big, because they feel like they're being loved. Someone paid them some attention. See, it's easier to attract people with honey than it is vinegar. See, when you have a personality that's sweet, even though that you're catching hell from the devil, even though you're going through some stuff, what's on the inside of you eventually comes on the outside. Amen. But people just see the outside appearance of you, and they're drawn to you because, well, you look cute, or you're this, or you're that. But then when your mouth opens up, they're either going to be drawn to you closer, or they're going to go, oh man, I got to get away from that. See, God wants you to be filled with his love so that people are drawn to you like honey. People are drawn to you because there's a Jesus in you. There is a sincere person inside. There's someone that's concerned about someone else. That there's genuine love oozing out of you. I didn't say you had to like what they're doing, but you got to love the person. Even though they're doing some stupid stuff, you still got to love them. He loved and looked beyond all our sins, all our motives, and all our shortcomings. Jesus did that over 2,000 years ago before I was even born. He was already looking out for me because he knew that I was a numbskull sometimes. Come on. I know you all were perfect, but I wasn't. People will be attracted to the outside of you, but there's really inside of you is just shining through. They're attracted to you because there's something about you. There's a thing called Jesus that's inside. There's a Holy Spirit that lives inside. And people are going to be drawn to that. And the more that you start to love Jesus, the more that you start to understand that sometimes people do things because it's really not them. It's just the Spirit that's on them. They don't get it. They don't know. They don't know the reason why they react the way they react. Because they haven't been trained. You can't beat your puppy at something it didn't do because it hadn't been trained. You have to go back and retrain it. It's called love. I don't want to love that person because, man, hey, they hurt me. But you got to love them. Some people, God will cut out of your life. Not that he doesn't want you to love them, but he keeps them away from you because they may try to hurt you. By their words, by their actions, by their thoughts. God still loves them. God wants them to turn around. But maybe you're not the one that's going to be the person that's going to be there that's helping cut the string. So sometimes God has to send somebody else. Sometimes there's family members. You got to love them from afar because they're just going through and doing what they want to do. I mean, you helped them out with the rent. You helped them out with their house payment. You helped them out with their cell phone. You helped them with this. You helped them with that. It's about time they stand on their own two feet. Not that they're bad, but you got to love them to a point where that you got to lead them to Jesus and allow Jesus to love on them. They need some of that Jesus love. We can be like Jesus, but we're not Jesus in that form, because there's always something in the back of our head that says, well, they're just trying to put one on me. See, Jesus would never think that way. Jesus said, I'm going to give you it all. I already gave you it all. I didn't say you always had to like the person. There's a lot of people that get under my craw that I just don't like them, because I know what they're about. Always scamming, always trying to try to get a fast one over me. Always, hey, can I borrow another $10? No, you can't. Or then they want to do so. Oh, I'll do this for you, do that for you, and they have this string attached to it, you know. And they walk around, you know, and they got this string attached to it. Yeah, you do this for me, I open this door for you. You owe me. You know people like that. But see, there's people out there, you got to understand, that you're only in their life for a season to give them a ray of hope. Maybe you're the person that shares some love with them. See, sometimes I remember my wife and I, we had a care group at our house, a home fellowship. And man, how I got talked into that one, it was all good. But I'll never forget, I can see it to this day. And we had one of the biggest home fellowships. Not because we were good. It was just one of the bigger home fellowships. We had a bigger house. I guess you put more people in. And this guy came to our home fellowship, and I've never met. And so we did some praise and worship, a couple songs, and then we were praying. And this big old boy, he's crying. And God said, hug him. I'm like, I ain't hugging this guy. In front of all these people, Lord, I mean, come on now. He said, I need you to go and hug him and whisper in his ear that me, God, loves him. I'm thinking, oh, man, God, no. So the Spirit of God's moving, and we just got them praising and worshiping God, and new to the group, you know, I don't want to scare this guy off, Lord. And you know when the Holy Spirit says, do it, do it. And this guy's bawling and he's sweating and ceiling fans making noise in the house. Ting, 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 ting. Lord says, go and hug this guy. So I go and, you know, I just kind of try to lean on him like a hug, you know. The guy said, no, 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 no. I go give him this big hug like this, and he about that big too. I could get my arms around him, you know, and I was kind of big at the same time, so it was like a belly to belly hug. We were like two sumo wrestlers, you know, and I gave him this big hug like that, and he just starts crying on my shoulder, and I'm thinking I'm going to have snot and all kinds of stuff on my shoulder. And I had a whisper in his ear. I said, I just want to tell you that God told me that he loved you. I mean, just broke this guy. He did right there experience God's love for the first time. I got to be part of that. I wasn't willing at first, but I did get obedient eventually. See, you got to understand is that there's something inside of you that people want. They want that joy. They want that love. They want that peace. They're trying to find it in a prescription. They try to find it in different things. And all they really need is to come to Jesus and get his love, and he'll overflood you with more than enough. Amen? He'll fix all the things that are broken. You got a broken heart, guess what? The best thing for it is the law of God, just to fill you up with his love. Transformation takes place when you fill yourself up with the word of God on a daily basis. Jesus' word, guess what? Will fill you up. Wasn't the word made flesh? Wasn't that what the Bible says? And the word Jesus was love. So if you get some of the love of Jesus through the word, then guess what? You're going to start applying that, and you're going to start touching people's lives, and they're going to be different than the way that they first came in. Jesus was the word. He was the word made flesh. The word was love. It went before. You got to understand that. God wants you and I to change people's life through the love of Christ. It's hard. Ask Dell. Dell will tell you, man, he was out in that, out in those parks. Those people, man, are, some of them are unlovable. But somehow he's got a passion, a compassion, like Jesus, for those people. I mean, we went out in the park. We almost got beat up, my wife and I. We're like, you know, they're throwing stuff at us. We got to get out of here, you know what I mean? We're always going to come to feed you, you know what I mean? I mean, crazy. Park ministry isn't for Pastor Diane and I, praise God. We'll go to the park, but it's some people are more called to go do that, amen? Got ran off, remember that? And all we were doing was trying to share the love of Jesus. And then you got, you know, people just go out there and it's just natural for me. It's just, you know. I love older people in the supermarket. Amen. I can help them with a case of water. It just gives me an opportunity just to share a little love of Jesus. Amen. Because they're shocked that someone's going to go and take the water out of the thing and put it in their cart so they don't have to struggle and they're trying to get it and they got their cane here and they're trying to get that and, you know, and then you bless them. They're shocked. We used to do that back 20 years ago, but nobody does that now. Well, I just want to show the love of Jesus, that Jesus still exists. Sometimes the only Jesus people will see is you. Because they won't come to a church. They won't come to an event. They're afraid that they're so dirty and they're so messed up that no one could love them. I did all these things. How could I ever be received? How could God love me? He does. There's power in God's love. God's love can and will move the mountains in your life. You got to allow God's love to seep into your life. You got to remove the walls, put down the guard, and allow him in. Experience love in a new way. You got to understand and become aware of his breadth, his length, his height, his depth of God's love. That his love is unstoppable. And once you get that love inside of you, when you experience who he is, then guess what? Other people will start tapping into you. Amen? See, the devil does not want you to understand the fullness of God's love. He wants to keep you in your hurt. He wants to keep you in your pain. He wants to say, God can do all this for you, but this because he don't love you. God doesn't want you financially blessed because he wants you to be poor because he doesn't love you. God loves you in every area of your life before you even loved yourself. No devil in hell can ever stop you once you start to understand the breadth and the length and the height and the depth of God's love. It's almost like you're turning on the switch in that total dark room and all of a sudden all the light appears. Amen. That's you. When you step in, this is the coolest thing. When you step in, you're like flipping the switch. The light appears. People are drawn to the what? The light. There's something shiny in that diamond ring across the room. What is that over there? You're drawn to something that's radiant. Well, guess what? You're radiant because you got the love of Jesus inside of you. People are looking for someone to love them. Go to a nursing home and go visit people there that probably have no one that visits them. And when you walk in, they're just so glad that you're there that someone would love them to take 20 minutes out of their time to go see them, a complete stranger. The enemy knows that there's power when you learn to love people. Shout with me this morning, devil, I put you on notice. I'm in love with Jesus, my best friend. May Christ Jesus, through my faith, dwell. Settle down, abide, make his home in my heart. Holy Spirit, lead me, love me like Jesus. Let me experience God's love and know his breadth and length and height and depth. Let his presence flood me and fill me to overflowing. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. You got to just get a little glimpse of how much he loves you. You'll never be part of the Lonely Hearts Club again when you get the love of Jesus. Depression's got to go. Oppression's got to go when you get to know the love of Jesus. Amen. Once you see people that have been depressed or oppressed, I've been places where I've seen people that have been oppressed and depressed, and when you start to share the love of Jesus, it starts to break off them. Sometimes it's just a hug. Sometimes it's just a kind word. Sometimes it's just hugging somebody that's the size of a polar bear. Amen. Two polar bears hugging, you know. But when they can experience that love, it begins to break those things off to help people down. And God wanted me just to instruct you this morning that he's going to use you that way. There's going to be people across your pathway just this very day and this very week that you're going to come across. And they might be unlovable, and they might be friends or somebody. And God's going to want you to love on them with no strings attached. Because before, you used to have strings attached with your love. But see, your love that you're going to share with them is sacrificial. It doesn't have a string attached. There's no fear. You're not worried that you're going to get hurt because you know, love overtakes that pain. Love overtakes the fear. Love doesn't have a string attached to it. So this week, there's going to be challenges you're going to go through, God showed me. God showed me there's going to be some things you're going to go through. There's some people that are going to go come against you perhaps or say some things that aren't very flattering to you. But God's going to tell you to still love them without a string attached. Maybe it's you have to go pray for them. Maybe they have said some mean things to you, and you're going to have to go in your room and go pray for them because you don't want to say anything mean. That's showing the love of Christ. Didn't say you had to hang with them, but showing the love of Christ. Showing the love of Christ without a string attached. I was just thinking, I thank God that Jesus didn't have a string attached to it. Think about that. Well, once you get, you know, once you get yourself straightened out, you know, I'll let you come over here. You know, I might heal you if you read the Bible every day. You know, in order to be saved, you got to quit all that lifestyle that you were in. See, Jesus didn't have all those strings attached to it. God says, "Go ahead, your life's a mess, and you may have to you may get saved 14 times at the altar." I went to the altar several. I got saved and resaved and resaved and resaved and resaved. Went to the Baptist church. I got resaved a half a dozen times. Amen. Then I went to the Pentecostal church. I got saved 16 more times there. Praise God. Every week it seemed like I was at the altar. It was like that week, man, I fell flat on my face 18 times. And the devil would try to discourage me and say, "See, God don't love you. That's why you got to come up there again. Your past is so big that God can't love that." I go up in front of that altar. I'd be up there and they lay hands on me. I'd cry. Go through a box of Kleenex. So you gotta understand it. You gotta allow God's love to just permeate you, to stay inside of you. His love is so big, it overshadows everything that you got going in your life. Those people that used to say things about you can't hurt you. Why? Because you love them. They can't hurt you. They can't offend you. Why? Because you love them. Didn't say you had to stay there and hang with them. I'm just saying you can still love them, even though they did some rotten things to you. Even though they're doing some crazy things in the world and they haven't come to the full encore of who Jesus is. You got to love them. We got family members. We got cousins. We got relatives. We got people that maybe not serving Jesus yet. But you still pray for them. You can still go, you know, some of them God's put you in the mission field to go there. And see, they're thinking that your love has got the string attached because this is how the world thinks. And when you're doing things, you're not expecting anything else in return. When you call them and you don't expect anything in return. When you float on that loan that you said, no, it's not a loan, just take it. I don't expect it. They're expecting the string to be attached, and you're not. What you're just showing them, the love of Christ. So don't worry. God will give you some assignments, because he's going to give me assignments this week. Some people will probably come around me that I have to love them. Amen. You're going to want to lay hands on them, pray for their healing. And they're going to test your patience. And you're going to go through some stuff. But you're going to remember this message, that there's power in God's love. And you're going to say, Lord, you love them. They're one that you created. We're all family. You love us all the same, but not everybody loves you the same. And so you get angry because they don't love Jesus the way you love them. Right? And so we get frustrated because they don't do it, because they don't love God like you love them yet. So pray for them. Spend some time alone with God and say, Lord God, open up the door for someone else then to maybe step in there and go love them without a string attached. Amen? Love your husband and your wife a little different. Maybe think about some of those strings that you've been holding on to. Amen? I remember when I was first married, I had a whole bunch of strings attached. I don't know how in the heck we didn't get all wound up and trip over each other. Amen? But as you mature and you grow in the things of God, and you understand the love of God, and you start understanding how he is, it is sacrificial. There's nothing I wouldn't do. There's nothing she wouldn't do. I wouldn't do for my kid. Why? Because you're going to understand. You would lay down your life for your family. You'd lay down your life for your parents. You'd lay down your life for your wife or your husband. That's love. But we have to get that same mindset with people. We got to get to love people. Because people right now are hopeless. People are looking towards anything and anything that will pull them in, because they feel that there's some love there. And that's why they go to the alternative lifestyles. That's why they go to the clubs and dances. And that's why they go do all this strip club stuff, because they think someone's going to love them. And they're drawn to that. And God's saying, we're the light. We're the one that flicks the switch. We're the one that helps clean up the situation. We're the one that they're going to be drawn to, because there's something in us that they need. There's something in it. And we're still a work in progress. Amen? We're still a work in progress. But as we spend more time in his word, those strings, it's funny, God's so good. Those things that we used to deal with, he starts to cut them. He starts to remove them. He starts to take them out of the way so that you can move more freely. You're no longer like a puppeteer. Kind of like DirecTV, right? They cut all those strings. You see that commercial? There's no more strings. They had the puppeteer, you know? And DirecTV says, oh, no, now everything's wireless, so there's no strings you need anymore. There's no strings attached. Jesus wanted me just to tell you that he loves you and that he just wants you to go and do his work, his will, his plan, his purpose. You just got to go love on somebody, amen? Heavenly Father, I ask you to bless your people. Everything they put their hands to, Lord God, let them prosper. This week, Lord, as tests and challenges come, Lord God, we're going to be, Lord God, proven that we are people of love, that we're a child of the Most High God. Father God, allow the Holy Spirit to show us and guide us and lead us to act and walk in love. Father God, use us this day. Use us this week. Put us in situations, Lord God, where the love of Jesus, Lord God, oozes out. Where people can experience the Jesus that we know. Let it just not be in word, but Lord God, let it be in action what we do. Lord, let us show and share the love of Christ everywhere we go. Allow people to be affected by our love. I ask you to put a hedge of protection around your people. To keep them, Lord God, and bless them. Increase them. In Jesus' name I pray. And everybody said, amen. You are dismissed.